filled with experience. He guided us on a path of life that we work out for our life. And I ask that you will be here with us. We believe in your Spirit, and that your Spirit will lead all things and will be upon us to teach us the things we need. And so at this time, I would ask that you will be with our brother who will stand and speak, that it would be your Spirit that will stand and speak. It would be your Spirit that would open our hearts, and we might be enlarged in our knowledge of you, that your name would be glorified, and that our belief in your Son would be assured. I ask that you would bless us in the manner in which we need this day, with the words that we need this day. Please be with our brothers and sisters, and we desire the same for them, for their lives, for their souls. That at this time, whether they meet in person, or even online, that they indeed would meet, that they would be together in some way, and that they would worship your name. I pray for the sick and the afflicted, and I especially pray for those who need to know you, who need an uplift in their spiritual life, to be pulled out of the mire, and to be brought on a better path, to be with them and be in their lives, surround them with those who can do that, even if it is us here. I ask for your leadership and your guidance and your blessing upon this day and upon this hour. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We're not going to have a second song because I think in the interest of giving Randy and the Spirit as much time as possible to deliver the message, we're going to do that. You know, I actually came and I have a sermon ready today. And I asked Randy, do you have something? I have something. And he said, wow, yeah, I have something. Yeah. So through the Sunday school song, I'm thinking, okay, well, should I go ahead? Should I be ready? And because I know what mine's about, it kind of struck me, why don't you probably wait? So I told him that. Why don't you probably wait? So he's going to speak to us today. And but remember, the waiting could be any length of time. So again, it doesn't seem like we're paying attention to Randy's. Mine can wait 40 minutes or 50 minutes, and then I can go ahead. So, we're not off the hook. It has been a pleasure for us here at Warrensburg to have folks dropping in and being here over the last several months. I know that we're not exactly doing what everybody else has been doing, and perhaps there's some that think we should have. I don't know. But it's been a joy to have the people here that have been coming by and listening. And it's a joy to have everyone with you as well. And I'm happy to take the opportunity, and I'm happy that he is willing to take the opportunity to have him speak to you today. Rochelle.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That song was saying, leaning on Jesus. I want to tell you what I'm leaning on. I was telling my brother right here, I was down in Collins years ago, enjoying the service, enjoying the Sunday school, minding my own business. Sitting in a chair there, and the service went on, got into the intermission, and forward. Brother Martin, he stood up, and he's gonna occupy, he's going to get the sermon, and said, well, I think Randy's going to get the sermon today. Well, they had a little privy out there, and I ran to the privy and came back, and we got the leading on. And I think it's a precious thing. I know the Lord. Those here, my children say that we are. And we got to, all I have is just a montage of a bunch of programs right here without a little bit. And so I'm asking. I'm asking you to be here. I'm asking you to bless this service, the ministry to the children, and the ministry, the ministers to these children to the people. Well, I'm going to talk a little passage here in Revelation 18, chapter 11. Now, I've been asked, and I don't have any prescribed questions, but I am going to ask everybody, does anybody remember any pronouncement upon the book of Revelation by God? Does anybody know there's something that he specifically says regarding the book of Revelation? Here John goes to the Isle of Patmos.
And he has this, he has this revelation from God. What did God say about the revelations? You have both hands up. What he said is, you best not change one word.
Chapter 19, verse.
It says,
and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, not other prophecies, this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
Now, she read it.
Not the Bible.
This is very important about the book of Revelation. Now, what would you say, why would God say that? I mean, very simple, right here. I'll answer this some of them. Why would he say that? He says that because it is important. What he said right here is, I want to tell you. I want to give you a revelation. And what we talk about, we talk here in Sunday school class about the plan. You've got a plan. You've got a plan. The plan has a beginning. You know what I mean? It has a middle and it has an end. But we're at the end part of the plan, in my opinion. And so in this end part of the plan right here, he says, I want you to listen up. I want you to understand and know what I'm talking about. It's very important to my children. And it's important to the enemies of God. I want you to know what's going to happen. This is going to happen. And so he's gone through this, and he has developed over 17 chapters here of things that he's going to do and what he plans. This 18th chapter here, we see the first verse that there's an angel that came. Now, in the very first couple of chapters of the book of Revelation, it talks about there's seven candlesticks, there's seven stars, and there's one in the middle of those stars. Well, that's Jesus. All right? In my opinion, I may not have it just exactly right, but my opinion here, the first couple of verses right here, we're talking about Jesus. And he's that angel. And as after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven. And what does he have? He's got power. Now, the world has never seen the kind of power that God's got. And we saw 2 months ago a demonstration of America, beyond comparison, has got the power. He's got the might. He's got the money. He's got the prestige. We've got the influence. The whole world follows what America does. The world follows right behind it. America the mighty. I drove down 40 Highway yesterday. I'm driving down 40 Highway, and I couldn't count all the businesses that say, roads, not open, not coming back. America the mighty came down in just a couple of months. The Bible talks about this, what we're going to talk about right here. The system comes down in 1 hour. God's got the power. If this is Jesus right here, and we believe it is, whoever this angel is, he's got the power. Feeble mankind, who thinks that he can do what he wants to do, he's going to get by with what he's going to get by with right here, God's got the power, and he's going to demonstrate that he's getting by with it. And so he says right here, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power on the earth, and was lightened with his glory. Now, to me, I see that as something as well. Is when God comes down, the room is dark. Maybe your life, maybe your soul is dark. Maybe your work is dark. Maybe where you walk and where you tread and where you go, maybe it's dark. It's hard to see what's going on. We're trying to figure out what's a lie and what's the truth. We weigh that right here today. We're weighing this, and I weigh that all the time right here. What is baloney? What is the truth? What can you believe? And our sister was asking me, this morning, Jerry, it's embarrassing. She asked me, she says, where is your news source? I said, well, you know, I don't have much. I don't have a lot of determination. News right here, but I do listen to the ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, whatever I get. I live there, a very little bit. But what I do listen to, I measure that according to the Word of God. That tells me the truth. I was saying here in another Sunday class, you know, what is the truth? In Russia, when I was growing up right here, going through high school, and probably in junior high right here, Russia was known as the revisionists. You know what that means? The revisionists. Here's another way of looking at it. If I was in a social studies class in Russia, back in the 50s, back in the 60s, when I was growing up, if I happened to be a foreign student and I went to Russia, I'm sitting in there in their history class, you know what I'd be thinking? This is not true history. The revision. They take history, they take the truth writer, and they change that, and that becomes the truth. That becomes the history. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the front of revisions. The devil is the greatest revisionist. And so what happens right here, somebody's got to strike the light. Something's got to happen right here that shows the light on what the truth is and where the truth may be found. And so here this angel comes down with great power on the earth and was lightened with his glory. And so here comes this prophecy. This is revelation. And what this is right here, someday, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next year, as things start playing out right here, now maybe we're on a roll. May not be, but I understand the scriptures enough to know what it's going to start to look like. And we're going to be reading about it right here. But the world is going to be lightened. And it talks about in the Bible, in the book of Mormon, it talks about the secrets of men are going to be revealed. Nothing that is hidden is going to be concealed, is going to be shouted from the housetops. So if anybody's got any secret, if anybody's got anything, some diabolical claim right here, you've got to just use your right word, stand by. The light's coming. The light is coming right here, and it's going to show wherever falsehood is, whatever lie we may believe in ourselves right here, it's going to be made manifest. And it's going to be shouted from the housetops. It's going to say, hey, Randy. I mean, Brother Randy, or did you know this about Randy? Whatever it is. And if I got something that's stinking and terrible right here, it's going to be revealed. And so he's going to enlighten this. But I'd like to turn to John, the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse. So he's got 3 little references right here. John, the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse. So anyway, so he's going to come and he's going to lighten up the whole world. And those things that are happening in this earth right here that men have carefully tried to conceal are going to be made manifest. And so here comes Jesus and he's going to do this. Second verse. And he cried mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Now as I read this in the previous chapters about Babylon and about this woman, this resident starter, she's riding the beast. All right, there's a connection between both these two entities. Yes. What does it say?
And this is the confirmation that light has come into the world.
That's it. Thank you very much.
What reference was that?
19, the 3rd chapter, 19th verse of John. Right. And men, it's a fact that men love darkness rather than light. And there's something about, you know, that I want to do what I want to do. It's a little bit shady, and it's a little bit, it's just not real decent, it's not real nice right here. And yeah, I hang with some of these folks, and this is just the way I like it. And men don't like the light. But God bless the man, the woman, the family right here, who relishes the light. Shine your light. Show me where I'm at. Have you ever asked that question? If you look in the mirror right here, I want to really know what you think of me. I really want to know what your opinion is of my opinion. What I want to do right here is this right? And don't tell me, you know, you may say that. Don't tell me what is right because this is what I want to do. But the man of God, the woman of the Lord, the people of light are people that want to know. I ask that all the time. What is it that you prefer? What is it that maybe that I'm doing that you don't like? Reveal that to me. So he's going to come here with this great light. But Babylon, the greatest form, and we're going to give a description of who Babylon is here, but it's the system that we live in. It's an ecclesiastical system, and it's also a system of carnality, a system of desire, it's a system of riches, it's a system for which mankind falls prey to, and they make it their idol, and God is not being in the picture. And so it says, Babylon is the greatest fallen, is fallen and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean, and perverted. Now, can you imagine? Here's Babylon. I don't know if that's me or you.
I have no idea.
It's not you.
It's not you, that's for sure.
Okay, can you imagine that here we are, and we clearly see, here comes this light. And we got this light, and I'm hanging with my bowling club. I've got my little gang of men, and we get together and we play music. I get together, you know, with a few guys right here, we play a little poker. But he's saying that Babylon's coming down, and Babylon, who Babylon is this cage of every wicked, evil, loathsome, abominable beast. Babylon is the place where all this is at. I talked to a mama yesterday. The mama yesterday was talking about her son. And her son's got trouble. Son's got discouragement and he's got depression. The son has got friends right here and those friends are trying to do bad things to girls. The son right here is in the midst and he's walking right here and I hear your mom right here, but my friends are putting me on this side right here and I'm depressed. And why do I have to remember this time in which everything seems to be wrapping up? Why? And goes on talking to us the left table and the third son. You hang here on the left side of the tracks. If you get together with people right here that want to do bad things, if the things that they want to do are a little bit deeper and darker than what you have been taught by here, you're with the cage of evil beasts. That's where you're leading. That's what they're beckoning to you to come. It's coming to join us. And so is it any wonder if you join them or do you have any whiff of them, if you know anything about them, is it any wonder that you're going to be depressed? Is there any indecision about why am I stumbling? Why am I having trouble? Why are the difficulties coming? You're hanging with the wretched beast in hell. You enjoy those things that come right out of the mind of Satan. And he's got nothing to do. He's got nothing that's of any advantage to any one of us. And so all these nations have it. They committed fornication with her. The cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Third verse. For all nations have drunk of the wine. If you've got all nations, who is not there? What nation is not there? Is America there? It's a sad thing for us. We go to Honduras and we go to Mexico. We get off the plane and we get off the plane and we're walking to find a car or somebody to pick us up. The drum beat of America is everywhere. It's everywhere. Everywhere you look, you see all the lustful, fornicated sights and attitudes of America everywhere in this third world nation. And if I was God right here, and if I could see that there's just one nation that is the purveyor of most of the wickedness in the world, I'd come after that nation. And so we're reading about this revelation. This revelation, what God's got in mind. What has he got in mind for the wicked? What has he got in mind for the righteous? Who are the righteous? Are they perfect? The righteous, they got light attitudes. They got a right heart. They got a heart right here that says, Lord, I messed up. I've made mistakes, made one yesterday, made it today right here. I'm sorry, right here. Steer me back. Hold on to me. Keep me from going there. I want to do the right thing. I failed and I admit it. I'm going to tell you where I stand. I'm going to tell you the mistakes I'm making. I'm hiding nothing. Lord said, yeah, I can be here. But the man and the woman said, you know, I'm all right. Ain't nothing wrong here. I don't see any problem. I don't see any of these foul, hateful birds that you're talking about. I don't see the darkness and the loathsomeness and the pain and the anguish and the depression. I don't see it. Stand by. Habitation for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of our fornication, and the kings of Europe have committed fornication with her. Everybody's in bed with this. Everybody's involved with this. And they're all nations have drunk of it right here. They've committed fornication with her, and the merchants of Europe are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that the riches that and somebody, I think they said that today, right? But the riches of a poor man in America is wealth to a third world nation. I mean, we're drinking water. I turn the water on, the water comes. I turn the dial on the stove, and the stove turns on. I go to the cupboard right here, and whatever I've got a multitude of choices right here. So, you know, I'm going to have pancakes, or I'm going to have cereal. Bacon and eggs, but I've got all my choices. I've got all that. And little bit of it, I have all of it together at the same time. I want it. Right. And it's just like that little girl down there in Honduras. I asked her one day, and she said, what do you eat today at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? I've had a half a pepper and a quart in the afternoon all day long. All those that have waxed rich, God's looking down. I know what you think. And what I want you to think in terms of our brothers and sisters. I want you to think about your neighbor across the river. I want you to think about the way that Jesus thinks about your neighbor across the river. But these guys right here are mesmerized. They are drunken with their own riches. They got no time for anything godly. But the righteous, those that are godly, are asking themselves every day, what can I do for the kingdom? How can I help you bring to pass the kingdom? You know what's the commandment? Jesus did. They asked him, said, what's the prayer of the prayer? You say, our Father, which art in heaven, what? Hallowed. You don't miss that. I mean, that's an admission that you're holy, and you're pure, and you're strong, and you're full of grace and full of love. That's who you are. I bless your name. Bless you, my God. Let me say this, what? Thy kingdom come. That's what you say. That's what you pray. That's where your heart is. I am praying, God. Bring it on. You know, the terrible thing about that prayer is you get going. You pray that prayer, you get disaster. You pray that prayer, you get right. Because that's got to be taken care of first. He got his little whip. He got his spatula. He got his big cage. He's got his ways. I'm going to bring it to pass, and I'm going to deal with it. All nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of Europe have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of Europe are waxed rich in the abundance of her delicacies. Fourth verse. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, what? What?
Come out of them.
Right.
is if God himself stood here, we all knelt down and prayed and waited. We're all on the ground. God says, I got one thing to say. Get out of her. Get out of her. Because I've got a plan. We talked about it today. I've got a plan. It's not going to be real good for a while. But I've got a plan. And so in this, and he says, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. Don't. You know, this young man I was talking about right here, he is struggling with that. Because he's playing with the sins. He may not have done it all together, you know, but he's playing with the sins right here. And the fingers of the devil are doing this. Come on. And maybe we can see that in our own lives. Maybe we can see that maybe there's some things there, if we take a good hard look and an honest look at ourselves right here, that we can feel that we've kind of been sort of leaning just a little bit in favor of that. Ooh, what a terrible thing that is. What a terrible thought that is. I did something in favor of the devil. I did something that helped. Hubert Yeats used to say that about movies. He said, I don't care if it's Walt Disney. I don't care, you know, if it's the sweetest, cleanest movie that you ever saw right here. He says, if it's made by MGM or Hollywood or whatever like this, what has happened is that you are supporting the industry that supports the destruction of your freedom and your faith. You are helping them out. They have created this cute little movie right here, and you spend your dollars right here, and then they go back narrowly to the emotions of destruction of this American history. All right. I'm not going to try to linger too long with this abysmal attitude, right? But he says right here, be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her what? Reportedly the thickest jungle on the face of the planet. All right. Now, there always has been. There is a fear of this area of the mosquito. And it goes back to the 1800s. That men have entered in this area and they come back cursed. This kind of sounds so explained, but I don't know about this. Well, I don't know if they'll go there. Well, certain legitimate explorers and illegitimate explorers have gone there and discovered that there's a problem. In fact, there's a tournament about the First World War. Right? The British sent a contingent of army men down here in the Mosquito. They all died. And so anyway, so this guy, this author of this book, wrote this book. They finally, have you heard this? Someone I'll bet you David. It's called Leader Seminar. What is it?
LIDAR. Where they can see images.
That's right.
Out of rock.
But it's never been used for archaeology until this book. Right? And so they knew about it. The military was using it in various other applications, but they never really in archaeology. And so there's one guy right here, he got money. And he said, I think that we can use this LIDAR, whatever it is. We can use this to discover if indeed there is any truth to all this speculation that there was a great city there in this part of the Honduras. And so they did it, and see, the Middle Eastern Christians there in the jungle. And so they mustered up a group of men, scientists, archaeologists, and so forth, and went down. And they went down there, and they were down there for 9 days, and they dug, and they got artifacts, and it's every bit is what has been postulated in the past. And they found this deal called a catch. A catch is a well full of the artifacts of people that rendered that to their God and then left. We got it. So anyway, the point that I'm trying to make by this is that they had this, they wrote papers, and they done a lot of scientific orientation and talking and quizzing and asking. And they did all that, and half of them that went down there come down with a disease, even God. And it's this word that's this long writer, but it's, if you ever look it up, it's Leichen. L-E-I-C-H.
Not the Leichenitis.
That's probably it. And they speculated it probably just never get rid of it. And so anyway, so these guys, there's some epidemiologists in America and England, and they try to find the best, and there's not a whole lot of men who know much about this disease. But they went to them, they had to go to them right after they died. And so this man right here says, of this sin, he says, I've got a reason that I've gone to. They've nearly got killed yet to be able to make any inroads on this disease. It comes from the sandfly. All right? Well, they believe that sandfly has been there for thousands of years. Generations and generations later. They just left that. It's a pandemic in the world. This very disease, they said. It is a disease that is pandemic worldwide. And they're saying that it's coming up from Mexico, and it's coming into the lower regions of the United States. And this, you know, and some of us saw, and I didn't just read the writer, but global warming, they say that because the temperatures of our days and nights and seasons right here have been moderating, Sandfly, he likes it. That rubber is warm, right? And so he's come to making his way up, right? Well, that's what this is talking about. And so what is the revelation? What is the revelation given to us? What is it? It's a fairly clear revelation. And that revelation is, this is the plan. I'm going to conquer wickedness. I'm going to defeat the devil. I'm going to illuminate the world with light. I'm going to do that. The Book of Mormon talks about is that the nation that occupies this country, and maybe Mexico and Guatemala, wherever, however you want to say it, right? But if the nation does not worship the God of this land, what happens to them? When they go to the Mosquito. And I have read that in other architectural areas or regions in America, and in South America, and Central America, and America. And it's great, they got these great monuments. We see where they were. We see what they did. We see they were mighty and strong and powerful. And then just like somebody turned the lights off. We know what some of the plan is. We may not have the time, but we know some of the elements of the plan. And the elements of the plan is if you deny me, if you resist me, if you kick me out of your church and out of your school and out of your politics right here, I'm going to burn you down. Pretty easy. Wasn't a bottle of water. You know, down there in those sneaky right there, well, it wasn't by that. In fact, it's there in Montezuma right here. Syphilis coming in, smallpox coming in. They find evidence of smallpox, and they come in there, and they come into society, and they find everybody dead with smallpox. Run down. Why do that? Because they don't like the light. And the light's going to be shining. The light's coming. And so, and it's And so the admonition is this. If there's anything that you can say and that you can attribute, that's the world. My buddies, my thing, my activity, my regular club, my going to the tea dance downtown Kansas City. All of that right here, the Lord's got an opinion about that. And so what is the advice that God would probably tell us? If we're hanging with the world, if the world is doing this, if the world is persuading us in one way, little bit by little bit, what is happening in the world right here, little bit by little bit, our riches right here. We got major drought and crop failure in Kenya, as a few days. Down in Mexico right here, what's happening in Mexico among our brothers and sisters? How would you like to be walking around in the living room there with deep water? And then when the water gives way, you know what comes after the water?
My
shimmy of the river. All that stuff comes. And so what happens to the believer? What's the believer think?
The believer has to help.
Right and wrong, left and right, the right is the right thing. Is there listening and know who's talking? Is there obeying? Am I? I have. I bless you. I got this. Daniel Malone's keeper over there. He gives us a big box of stocking caps. Did you have any part of this? Stocking caps filled with all kinds of goodies. Toothpaste and toothbrushes and combs and food and
water.
And when they did it right here, the dinner winter time right here, and you get done jobbing all up, put the hand on your head right here and you stay warm. Great idea.
For the homeless.
So I keep it. I got it. I keep bags of that. So Becky and I, we were going somewhere. What was that? You were going somewhere. We're going right here, there's this guy, and boy, is he playing with this?
No, that's
not. He's just standing there right here. You know, I said, hey! He looked at me like this, and I throw this at him like a missile, like a big snowball, and I get, and he goes, ha ha! But I can tell, but blessed is day. You know, if somebody do something this way. And the Lord knows what our hearts are. And know that we are overcome with the money that we've got. Overcome with the riches. I can't think about nobody but me. I think we've got a man that I know of. This happened years ago right here. He built this triple car garage. And I mean, boy, that was snappy. That was good. He worked double overtime right here and put in triple overtime on that garage and got it and made it. There you go. Just as the Bible says, and another will take your place. And the other, you come in there, and man, for not to drive that, that's a big deal. That is perhaps for those of us who don't have a mind for the kingdom. But for those that have a mind for the kingdom, there's a certain something right here. Let me turn to it right here. This is in Luke. I know where this one is. Luke 21 somewhere. I'm looking at it right here. Luke 21:36. Anybody want to read it? Ready? Corinthians.
Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man.
When I read that, I'm not reading as this is the Lord, this is Jesus talking, right, by the way. And he didn't really mean what he's saying. I mean, I'm reading that right there. It says, watch ye therefore. So what are we doing here today? We're watching. We're reading Revelation. It's a revealment. It's the spotlight. It's the opening door. It's everything that God, Jesus is going to do. This is what he said he's going to do. This is the plan. I'm going to do this. In this plan, I'm going to rub out back. I'm going to rub out. But at the same time, there's action going on. But what I'm going to do what? I'm going to take care of my children. It says right here, watch ye therefore. If we're not watching, whose fault is it if you get your thumb in the door? If you're not watching right here, who's to blame when something terrible happens right here? And the Lord said, you know, I told you, it's coming. I told you, it's on his way right here. There's something that you can do. There's something right here in this verse right here. Watch therefore. But okay, you intend for us to watch. Somebody said right here, well, I don't like foxes. Well, you better start lying. If you want to get an idea and you want to have the heads up on what God is going to do, that he needs us to know what he's got in mind. And what he's got in mind is a twofold. That twofold is, I'm going to rub out in an hour. I thought America coming out in 2 months. We're still kind of in a football right here. I don't know where it's going to go right here. But it's talking about this major event right here in 1 hour. Can you imagine in another place right here, if I could talk, still reason. Can you imagine a hailstorm? What do you imagine in a hailstorm? You got a hail rock coming down. I was with Becky right here, my daughter, coming down the road through a hailstorm. We were in a storm. And then hail started coming, pea size, or not my pity size, bird size was. And the scream of my bloody mother. Very frightening, man. And I got the pedal in the middle right here. I got fast. I got to find some roof. I got to get out of this. We're going to get pulverized. You know what the Bible says? In this day, we're talking about the hail coming. You think this church can stand 100-pound hailstorm? By the hundreds, maybe the thousands, the 100-pound hailstorm. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if when that hailstorm comes and every building is just absolutely flat. And I can just imagine right here, but how can that be? The church survived. I'm just talking about it. How can a tornado come when it does? Tornado comes in. In fact, I saw a lava flow, volcano flow, this a couple of years ago in California, some of the big lava flow, volcano rooftop right here. And I'm watching that lava. That lava's coming down, and these mega mansions, gigantic, huge, rich houses. And here comes this slow inferno of magma coming down. And just take over the house, get there. Immediately it just collapses and runs over the dog and goes around. And I'm watching it. And I'm watching that magma come in right here, that's everywhere. And it come in and there's flows here and flows here. And I saw that on the TV. I saw this magma go like this. And it was right around this house. And I was thinking that. Count yourself worthy, and I don't believe this in any sense of the word, that I count myself worthy. I'm a worthy dude. It ain't going to touch me. And I won't say that. Troubles do come to Christian righteous people. I know that. But I believe that the general mind of the Lord right here, and by asking, by pleading, by seeking the God of miracles. And we told it out in another book, one of them, says that the day of miracles seeks, God is seeked right here. That day has stopped right here. And God, and yet, God of miracles, and that magma coming to your house. Lord, have mercy on my children. And I see, based upon what I read and the testimonies that I had, and I've heard from you, I can't believe it. Because it will not be seen. That kind of stuff is coming. May be counted, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that you shall come, that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. Stand. Stand. Let me finish all right about now. Come out of my people and be not taken for sins that you receive not replaced. Boy, that is, and I can't tell you this COVID, I'm not going to tell you right here. This is it. This is one of those things. But it is the coming. America is ready for it. America has cultivated carefully its sordid wickedness. They have day by day built the edifice that's sick and the evil of every kind. Everything that most Americans, I did my own poll several years ago. I did my own poll. During Christmas time, and every person that I come in contact with, I'd ask them this. I'd say, what time of year is it by this Christmas time? All right. So at Christmas time right here, it says, now what are you going to do at Christmas? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is that we've got turkey. We're going to cook the turkey, and we're going to have the relatives over. We're going to eat the turkey, and we're going to have a good time together. And then after that, we're going to watch football games. The little lady right here, she's going to bring out some snacks right here. And the woman pop some buds right here. And I go, oh, okay. That's your Christmas. Yeah, that's your Christmas. Now let me understand this. Whose birthday is this? Well, I reckon it's Jesus' birthday. Now, did you do anything to remember that name? No, we're busy. We're eating. Having a good time. Didn't take time for it. No. That's when he's coming at. But on the other hand, there's a little sweet little family of mine that's thinking of the Christmas carol there. Four little, what's it? Four triple little guys. 9 and 10 right there. Dad. Yeah. So rejoice of what they got. Bless the Lord. And may I raise a toast to Mr. Coot Scrooge? No! Jesus is in there. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is in there. Good example of how he is. A little family, not got much, but blessed by what they got. And knowing where it comes from. And the blessing of the Lord. I heard my voice come out of my people and be not paid for sins that you receive not a place for her sins and reach unto heaven as God hath remembered her iniquities. Turn to Revelation 8:3. Revelation 8:3. Now this is how I may not be exactly theologically absolutely correct. This way I seem to understand. 8:3, Revelation. Another angel came out and stood in the altar, having a golden censer. He's got this thing right here, and that censer has got incense in it. And my mind sees the angel holding up this censer, and it kind of moves back and forth there. And there's smoke coming out of that censer. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense. And so he's burning incense. Right. That he should offer it with the what? Prayers of the saints. So here's the prayers of the saints. They go up. The prayers of the saints, they go up. The angel's got this, the incense, he's burning it, and I'm assuming towards God. He's holding up this incense, right? And that's combined there. The incense and the prayers of God are there together. And this aromatic smell filling the temple. All right. The prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the who? The saints. The prayers. The believers. The praying. Who's receiving, who smells the prayers? The Lord. And he fills the house right here, and the prayers, the saints ascend up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angels took the censer and filled it with fire of the oil and cast it upon the earth. That, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. In other words, it was going to blow that lit thing up. But he, here comes the prayers. And we can come back now. I believe in that. I believe that there's a whole lot of prayers that I haven't seen the answer to. That angel right here, that there needs a prayer. That prayer goes up. There with that incense is mixed in with the smoke. Not ready yet. More prayers of us rising up to the saints and fill the center right here. And they keep coming up right here, but there's a moment in heaven. Only God knows it. But there's a moment in heaven, and that moment happens is that the censer is turned upside down and it comes down on the earth. And that can be a couple different ways. In fact, as the Bible talks about, there are people who've been slain. Beheaded for the cause of Christ. And they're praying underneath the altar. Could be some of those prayers coming back down on the earth. Come with vengeance against the enemies of God. Then the other prayers, people that others have given up on. The prayers are still there. Ready to come back and bless and save and deliver. Glad to God. That's it. That's all I got. God bless you. Pray. Let the Lord know who you are. I think of it this way right here. When you pray, God picks up the receiver's camera. And you say, Lord, is that you? He says, I know that you said, I heard your voice. I know who you are. Along with everyone else that's right here, when we in our regular prayers, and we know how to pray, and we set ourselves to pray right, God says, I know that voice. I know who that is. That's my son. That's my daughter. What can I do for you? You know, there's a scripture, if I can get it right. Let your prayers be known to God. The scripture said, let your requests, did I say prayer? Let your requests be known to God. What does that tell you? What it tells me is, I want to hear your requests. I want to hear what's on your mind. And not only do I want to hear it, but if it's right, I am going to do something about it. I know that verse. Let you be a question on God. God bless you.
While in your turn to Psalm 348, one of which is Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We'll have service. Next Sunday we'll have service as well. Brother Roger Brewer is our visitor, and that's our potluck Sunday. The week after that is our vacation church school that we're doing here, Thursday through Saturday, 25th through 27th, including a program that at the afternoon is the last day at 3. There are other announcements that we can do now at this time of prayer requests for the divine in the upcoming days. Lots to pray about.
That's going to happen.